Let's see, there we go. Daniel chapter 6. We're sort of deviating from the book studies a little bit. I don't know how long we'll do it, but familiar story, I think. Daniel in the lion's den. And to answer your question, Sam, it's 18 and older right now, but once they get however many signed up, they're going to get signed up, they're probably going to change the age a little bit later. So you probably get to go. Daniel chapter 6. I'm going to show you the verse that really defines Daniel's life and defines this chapter of his life. Daniel in the lion's den, maybe you didn't know why he was in the lion's den or how that came to be, or the fact that he was an older man when he was in the lion's den. We looked at Daniel's early life a couple weeks ago. But in Daniel chapter 6, verse 23, there's a few words at the end of this verse that really define this whole chapter, define Daniel's life, and define why God used Daniel and why God preserved Daniel's life. In Daniel 6:23, the Bible says, "Then was the king exceeding glad for him, commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him." Why? Because he believed in his God. That's why. That was the reason. Because he trusted the Lord. And so we're going to start back in the first part of this chapter. I want to show you a few things here that because Daniel believed in his God, and it was more than obviously a confession, it was a lifestyle. And several things it improved his character, his walk in life, and all that kind of thing. But that phrase, because he believed in his God, that changed and made Daniel's life what it is and what it was. So I want to show you all of the effects that it had on his life. Ultimately, in this chapter, it ends up in a lion's den, but he gets rescued from that lion's den. And that's sort of the climax here in this chapter. But there's several things that lead up to that, and all of them hinge on the fact that Daniel believed his God. And it's not just that he had a God. He believed in the God of gods, the Most High God. So Daniel chapter 6, verse 1. Let's kind of look into the old, the first part of this chapter and see the benefits that this belief, this trust in the Lord had in Daniel's life. Daniel chapter 6, verse 1. Let's read a few verses here. It says, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because," here's number one, "because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm." If you remember back to the beginning of this book, Daniel is, he has impressed Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 1 with his trust in the Lord, and particularly how it's affected his life. And I think it's all heathen, you know. It's people say heathen in Africa with the heathen in Beeville, you know, the heathen. It's heathen. But people who don't trust God are not as impressed with your professed trust in God as they are with the effects that it has on your life. People will ask you. I remember in Well, I remember in the oil field, I'd go to rigs when I was going to the rigs, and I'd stay there for a couple weeks. I'd bring my Bible, I'd do my job, I'd have a Bible, and sometimes we'd end up having Bible studies. But people would be sometimes interested just because, I don't know, I didn't drink, I didn't cuss. And so that was a big deal. That was like a big deal. Why don't you do these things? Why don't you act like this? So what I'm saying is, in Daniel's life and in anybody's life and in any Christian's life, this is why it's important that you act like a Christian and be a Christian in public, because people who don't trust God aren't fascinated with your trust in God. They're fascinated with the effects it has on your life. That's what they're looking at. Because they don't have those same effects in their life, and they want to have, or they wonder where that comes from. And so in Daniel's life, early on in Daniel, in chapter 1, he is said to be 10 times better than all of his peers. And the reason he's 10 times better is because of what he believes about God and how he trusts the Lord. And so he goes to the Lord for wisdom, and he gets wisdom. And then he's able to speak wisely about matters that his peers can't speak wisely about. He's able to live in such a way where pressures of outside pressures don't affect him the way they affect other people. He's not able to be manipulated like other people are able to be manipulated. And Nebuchadnezzar is fascinated with his life. Well, you jump ahead, and Daniel has now outlived Nebuchadnezzar. And he was in the cabinet of Nebuchadnezzar. He was ruling with Nebuchadnezzar over all of Babylon. And now one kingdom has now taken over for Babylon, the Persian kingdom. And Daniel's survived that. And now he finds himself in another cabinet with a king. And this is because of what he lives out, how he lives his life. And so he's found to be better than all of these vice presidents and presidents, and he has more wisdom, he has more understanding, he has more character, he's not able to be, again, manipulated. And so here's a guy that a heathen king, can put around him and trust him. He's not going to take bribes, he's going to judge the way things need to be judged. He's going to call to account things that need to be called to account. And so what Darius sees in Daniel, he says, it's found that he has an excellent spirit, meaning he excels more than other people. What Daniel's producing is excellence. He's a humble man. He's a generous. He's a kind leader whose trust in the Lord had gave him wisdom beyond every other man that was his peer. He's noted for his excellent spirit, meaning it wasn't a particular physical feature. It wasn't that he was stronger than any man. It wasn't that he could bench press more than any man or he could run faster. It was that what came out of his life was excellence. It was just better and more impressive than the people around him. And all that stemmed from his trust in the Lord. It says an excellent spirit. It radiated from Daniel in all things. He excelled all other men. And here's an application to that. If you trust Jesus Christ, if you trust God Almighty in your life, it will make you a better student. It will make you a better employee. It will make you a better employer. It will make you a better father. It will make you a better mother. Because it encompasses all of these aspects. It's just excellence in the life. It's just excellent spirit. And that's what Daniel has. He has an excellent spirit. Like I said, when Daniel was a teenager and a prisoner of war and had lost everything. He lost his family, lost his house, lost his stability, lost everything. Didn't have time to grieve any of that. He's shoved in with a bunch of prisoners of war, and he's very polite about things he asks, and he's gentle and he's kind about it, and he just trusts God. And at the end of that chapter, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of all of the earth, really looks at Daniel and says, that guy is 10 times better than anybody else we have in this kingdom. This guy's somebody I need around me. And you it's interesting. I mean, I don't want to go through the whole book of Daniel, but Daniel's such a fascinating guy. In Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar has this dream, and he has these magicians and these people try to interpret the dream. And it's pretty peculiar. He's got these people around him, and he kind of knows they're all sort of in it for themselves and just kind of shady people. And when they can't interpret the dream, I mean, he calls them out on it. And he tells them, you don't interpret the dream, tell me what my dream was. And of course, they can't do that. And so all of these people that are around Nebuchadnezzar that are his counselors, it's almost like even Nebuchadnezzar knows these folks are not, they may help sometimes, but really they're not, they don't really have it. But Daniel, he's got something they don't have. So Daniel, he has an excellent spirit about him. Why? Because he believed in his God. He trusted the Lord, and it made him excel in the things that he did. Then this happens. Daniel gets promoted, and just in life, you can't get promoted without becoming the target of people. You just can't do it. You can't get promoted without someone who wasn't promoted taking shots, thinking they should be the one where you're at. So Daniel gets promoted, and then this happens. Verse 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Wow, what a testimony. Like, if we're going to get Daniel on something, we're going to have to make something up. Because he is blameless in all he does. He is not hypocritical in his beliefs, and he is not doing anything wrong. And so, faithful, Bible says, he was faithful. Verse 5, these men, they're still envious of him. They hate him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then the president, these presidents and princes, I mean, I'll stop there. What if your life was like that? Meaning, if people wanted to inspect your life, they literally couldn't find anything wrong. In fact, the worst thing that they could do is find that you are being too much of a Christian, and so they're going to have to make a rule that you can't be a Christian because you're just being too much of it. It's not like that. There's filth in your life. It's in Daniel's life. I mean, he is exactly what he portrays, and he's blameless. And the folks that want to bring him down, they're going to have to now make it illegal to be worshiping God the way he worships God, because his whole life is about worshiping God, even though he's not in Israel, even though he can't practice Judaism, he can't go to a tabernacle, he can't make sacrifices, he can't do any of those things that the Israelites are told to do. The best thing he can do, like we talked about a couple weeks ago, purpose in his heart to serve God where he is. So he does. And he's got an excellent spirit. He has also got a good testimony. He's unblameable in the eyes of men. His only snare is that he trusts God. That's the only thing you can get Daniel on. He just trusts God. His peers knew he was a man of God. Now, how about your peers? Do they know you're a man of God, a woman of God? In Daniel's life, they knew it. People around him knew it. Verse 7. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. So they're gonna get rid of prayer in schools for 30 days. They're gonna get rid of prayer for 30 days. You can't pray in the kingdom, and you can't ask and petition anyone else but the king for 30 days. And remember, this is just a law for Daniel. These men don't care about making this law for the nation. They don't really care about other people. It's just to snare Daniel. That's the only reason. Verse 8, now, O king, establish the decree, sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius, sign the writing and the decree. So they pitch it to the king like it's a good thing. We need to do this in the kingdom. And I'm sure the king has 100 other things on his desk. And they put this one on the desk and they say, sign this one, king. Here's the general parameters of it. It's a good thing. We need to do it because of this. And the king says, okay, sign off on it. Sign off on this. Sign off on that. Sign off on this one. Yeah, I'll sign that one. And so he signs the writing. And then he realizes what he signed. But, verse 10, when Daniel finds out there's now a law that you cannot pray. There's a law that you cannot pray. Look what Daniel does. Verse 10. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. You know what Daniel did? He just kept doing what he was doing. Now, some of you need to take note on this, because it doesn't take a law to get you to stop praying. You haven't maybe prayed in a long time. You haven't had communion with the Lord in a long time. Here's a man, I want him to compare his life. This is a man who trusted the Lord. And he trusted the Lord in the face of adversity. And he trusted the Lord such that it made him different than his peers. And not only different, it made him valuable to people who are in authority, because he trusted in the Lord. And so this writing goes out, this law says, you cannot worship the way you're worshiping. Specifically, you cannot pray to any other god for 30 days. You have to make your petitions specifically to the king. And Daniel sees the writing, and he hears the law, and he goes right back to praying 3 times a day, opening his window, facing Jerusalem. Lord, we have sinned. Our nation has sinned. We need help. Please forgive us. And he looks to Jerusalem. Lord, take us back to our land. 3 times a day. You see, you say you're busy with stuff. Daniel is the president over all of Persia. You think he doesn't have stuff on his plate to do? And somehow he manages to find time in the day, 3 times a day, to get on his knees and pray. That puts a lot of us to just like, that's just shameful. What do we call Christianity? What are we calling belief in God? Daniel trusts the Lord. What does he do? He has a good testimony. He has an excellent spirit. He's consistent in his prayer life. It doesn't change a thing about what he's doing. He's consistent. And then let's keep reading. Let's keep reading. So Daniel, the plan's going to work now. Now the plan's going to work. They make a rule. They make a law. You can't pray. Because apparently even the men who made the law know Daniel's not going to obey that law. So they make the law for Daniel. Daniel does exactly what he's always done. Goes to the window, prays 3 times a day. And these men say, all right, we got you now. Now we got you. Verse 11, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying. Wow, surprise. And making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee. He doesn't care what you're saying. O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself. He knows Daniel is a good man, and he knows it. And he knows now he's been tricked into signing into law something that is specifically just targeting Daniel. It's just for Daniel. So he's displeased with himself, verse 14, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. So King Darius now, he's trying to figure out legally, how do I get Daniel out of this position? I've signed this law just kind of, not an absent-minded, but I mean, by virtue of the abundance of the work he has to do, he just has to sign papers. Sometimes he doesn't get all the details, and so he signs off on this thing, and now it's just, it's turned into a train wreck because his most valuable man in the kingdom, he's going to have to send to the lion's den. Verse 15, then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. They just want to let him know, you know, you can't undo this. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Can you imagine? Daniel's reason for going to the lion's den is that he chose to pray. Can you imagine that? I mean, I imagine most of us, if a law came down and said, hey, for 30 days, you can't pray. You know what most of us would do? Okay, I'll just stick it out for 30 days. Or don't read your Bible for 30 days, or don't pray for 30 days, or don't go to church for 30 days, or whatever it is. Just something about your worship. They say, don't do it for 30 days. In our minds, we would say, okay, I'll just stick it out for 30 days. I'll stop praying. I'll put my Bible away. I'll just, for 30 days, stick it out. But that's not Daniel. And that's why Daniel's in the position he is and you and I aren't. Because Daniel has character. And Daniel, in the face of opposition, surely you and I would say, you know what? Communion with the Lord, prayer is not as important as me being fed to the lions. But Daniel seemed to say, you know what? Communion with the Lord, prayer to the Lord is more important than my own life and being fed to the lions. What a mentality. What a thought life. What a process of thinking. How do you judge this information? I mean, he is thinking things that you and I just don't think about. So he doesn't try to get out of it. The people that made the law successfully, they've got him trapped. And Daniel goes to the lion's den, and the king, he does his best to get Daniel out, but what do you do? He signed the law. It's law. So he throws Daniel in the lion's den. Remember, Daniel's in the lion's den because he chose to pray. This is prayer. You talk about a valuable prayer life. Maybe we should do some more sermons on prayer or something. That's how much he valued prayer. So he prays, he gets thrown in the lion's den. In verse 17, a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Wow. Thrown into the lion's den. I don't know how many lions are there, but I'm sure they're hungry. And you talk about intimidating. Tossed in the lion's den by himself with all of these lions around, and then they put the stone over the top of it, and now Daniel in the evening, by morning, by all accounts of any time it's ever happened in the past, Daniel's going to be he's going to be torn apart because he chose to pray. Talk about trust in God. Verse 18. But that doesn't happen. He's not torn apart. Verse 18, then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. He is disturbed about what he's had to do. Then the king arose very early in the morning, went in haste unto the den of lions, and when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice. I imagine he's not expecting to hear a response. And he goes to the lion's den, and he leans over, and he says, Daniel, Daniel. Verse 20, when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? And then he heard a voice. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me. I'm not guilty of anything. I haven't done anything. Innocency was found in me. And also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. So I haven't hurt you. I haven't hurt God. I have tried to live my life according to the things of God. Verse 23, then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him. Why? Because he believed in his God. That's why. That's why. You say, well, maybe the lions weren't hungry that night. Oh, you'll find it. They were hungry. They're going to be hungry in the next few verses. They were just maybe it's just a coincidence, or maybe he stood in the right place. The Lord's testimony of Daniel is because Daniel believed in his God, this is what happened in his life. Because he believed in his God, the lions didn't eat him. Because he believed in his God, he had an excellent spirit. He had a good testimony. Because he believed in his God, other people envied his life. They wanted the effects of his life without the character it takes to have those effects. They wanted the benefits of his life. They liked where he was. They wanted to be where he was, but they can't be where he is because they don't think like him. They don't act like him. They don't have his character. They don't have his desire for the things of God. And because he believed in his God, this is the Lord's testimony. And notice, it's not because he made all the sacrifices, because he kept the law. He can't. He's in Babylon. He can't bring any sacrifices anywhere. The testimony is Daniel's faith. You could say, you read it over in Hebrews 11, it says over there later on in that chapter, it talks about by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. One of those things that's said in later on in that chapter, by faith, they stopped the mouths of lions. That's Daniel. By faith he did that. He trusted God, and the Lord responded by shutting the mouths of those lions. He's delivered by faith. His deliverance is summed up in those words, because he believed in his God. Daniel's faith. We'll finish up the chapter here, but that this is the key in the whole thing in Daniel's life. If there is something that God wants out of people, Old Testament, New Testament, the Lord is looking for just someone to just trust him. Just believe what I said. Just trust me. Just trust me. Verse 24. Because Daniel believed in his God, he has an excellent spirit, he has a good testimony, he's consistent in the face of opposition, he's delivered from death, and his enemies are destroyed. These lions were hungry. Verse 24. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them and break all their bones in pieces or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Wow. You know what? Just as Daniel's faith rescued Daniel and had an effect on his life, you know what these men who set Daniel up and envied Daniel and hated Daniel, you know what it had an effect on? It had an effect on them and their families. Their whole family suffered because of the stupid decisions of these men. Not just stupid decisions, the envious decisions, the hatred for Daniel. They thought nothing of killing an innocent man. It was just part of the plan. It's just part of what we're going to do. We're going to set up this innocent man. We can't kill him any other way. We'll kill him this way. Again, the irony. What irony is it? We're going to set this man up, and they do. What they don't account for is that God is able to deliver. And he shuts those lions' mouths, and King Darius finds Daniel. He takes him out of that den, and then his eyes turn toward all the men that planned this thing and put this thing together. And he said, put those men in the den. And not only those men, take their families, put them in the den. I don't want any of their generations wandering around my palace anymore. I don't want their kids feeling bitter about what I did to mom and dad because of their mom and dad's dumb decisions. So just get rid of the kids. What a horrible thing. But you know, sin affects generations. It hurts generations of people. It gets carried on, and it gets worse as generations go on. Daniel, on the other hand, is delivered from his enemies. And that's not even enough. Watch what happens next. Verse 25. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. Wow. For he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth. He worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Daniel just keeps outliving people. He is such an incredible personality. Now, what started as Daniel being promoted in the kingdom of Persia, now he is he's been through the lion's den, he's been delivered from death, and now the king of all of Persia is going to make a decree and say, everybody Everybody in my kingdom is going to honor, respect, and fear the God of Daniel. Everybody. Because there is no other God that can deliver like Daniel's God. There is no other God that can behave like Daniel's God. There is no other God with the power of Daniel's God. Everyone in my kingdom is going to recognize Daniel's God. So here's the last thing. Because Daniel believed in his God, the glory of God is published throughout all the earth, at least all the Persian kingdom. Now, just a side note here, I don't know the time frame on all this, but you got Esther and some of these other books in the Old Testament that seem to be happening at the same time, but it's a little side note there if you want to study it out. But Daniel's belief, Daniel's trust, Daniel's faith, and it isn't just a blind faith. It's not just, if I just believe it hard enough, it'll happen, because that's what some people believe faith is. It's just me just dreaming something up and then believing it enough that God makes it happen. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the words of God. It has a source. You believe the words of God. You don't just make something up and believe that thing. It's you believe the words of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the words of God. Here's Daniel. He just trusts God. He trusts God that God will deliver him out of these lions' mouths. Why does he trust God? Well, he hasn't done anything wrong. He's done the right things. And he just trusts God through the sabotage and through the trouble and the trials. And he says, Lord, I have not done anything wrong, and I trust that you will protect my innocency in this. And the Lord does. Daniel's faith, it affected his whole life. And the point in this whole thing is very simple. It's very simple. It's found in verse 23, that no manner of hurt was found upon him. Here's the point: because he believed in his God. If there is a theme in the Bible besides Jesus Christ, it is that God wants people to just trust him. And he has such a hard time finding people just trusting him. But when he finds somebody that'll trust him, they make a big splash in the world. It changes things. It makes an indention in this world. It makes a memory. It's a great event that happens with Daniel for sure. And that little, at the very end, I love it. Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus. You know what Daniel ends up doing? He ends up living through three kingdoms and not just living through them, not just surviving. He is at the head of each kingdom. He lives through the Babylonian captivity, and he becomes top president in Babylonian captivity. Then he lives through the Medes, the Persians, which are kind of similar time frame, and he becomes the top guy with the Medes, with Darius, with the Persians, with Cyrus. He's something else. He really is. And he's a man that is mentioned in faith. I mentioned it earlier. I'll show it to you. Look in Hebrews chapter 11. I'll show you the verse. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33. Hebrews 11:33. After all of these folks that are mentioned in Hebrews 11, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith Abraham, by faith Enoch, by faith Abel, by faith Noah, by faith Sarah, by faith Gideon, by faith Moses, by faith Joseph, by faith Jacob, by faith Isaac, all of these by faith. You get to verse 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. That's Daniel. Quenched the violence of fire. Anybody know who that was? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. By faith. By faith. You know what God's looking for? We'll end it on this. The Lord's just looking for someone to believe Him. Someone to trust Him. And not just trust Him in word, but trust Him with their life. Trust Him that when the decree goes out that you can't pray, you just keep praying. When the decree goes out that, hey, you need to, or when the we talked about before, when the peer pressure goes out, yeah, you're just being this way, or this is stupid, or whatever. When the peer pressure goes out, you just keep doing what you're doing. Or maybe you need to change what you're doing. Maybe you shouldn't keep doing what you're doing. You ought to start doing something. Point is, like Daniel, he trusted in the Lord, and there were great, great effects from it. He trusted in the Lord, and all of these things are effects in his life because he actually trusted in the Lord. And it is something the Lord is just looking for someone to trust Him. And he has such a hard time apparently finding people just trust Him. And it's not, like I said, just trust Him in what you think. It's trust Him in your actions, your behaviors. It's again. Folks who are not believers, and I hate to say that because everyone says they're a believer now, everyone's a Christian now, but folks who literally don't trust God are fascinated by the effects that trusting God has on people's lives. And you and I are the same way. If you read missionary stories or we have missionary testimonies, where people have guns held to their head and they say, you know, yes, we're Christians. And, you know, they click and the gun doesn't go off and then they let them go. I've heard those stories. You may have heard those stories. You know what? We're fascinated by that stuff. You know why? We're fascinated by people who trust God and the effects that it has on their lives. Daniel, prime example, trusted God because he believed in his God. That's the characterization of his life. That's the characterization of his life in that chapter. Because he believed in his God, these things happened to him. And in the end, God is glorified. God's name is published throughout all of Persia. Daniel's protected. Daniel is honored. He's given a position in multiple kingdoms. It's just a fascinating man who actually had faith and trusted God, and these are the things that happened to him. What a great testimony. What a great testimony. I hope we can have that testimony. Trusting God. Just trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. That's what he's looking for. Somebody to just trust him. Let's do this. We'll got a song? You guys got a song? Let's sing a song. And we'll think about what we heard, sing a song, and we'll be dismissed. What is it?
260.
Tis the grandest theme through the ages.